He is the NBA front office insider for Yahoo Sports, The Vertical. He spent 20 years working in the NBA, the last five as assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets. He is Bobby Marks, who joins us right now here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. Bobby, appreciate you coming on. Very busy time of year. It really is a crazy time. We've already seen the Sixers and the Celtics make a deal. We've seen the Cavaliers let their GM walk. We've seen Paul George tell the Pacers he's out after next season. Bobby, it's been really crazy over the last 48, 72 hours or so.
No, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces here. We saw it this past win with the Philadelphia-Boston trade. Now we see Paul George's name in the room in the rumor mill. You mentioned Cleveland with David Griffin being not coming back next year. Porzingis, I guess, is in play a little bit now in New York. And then we've got the draft in a couple days and then free agency in, you know, starting July 1. So it's a great time of year if you're an NBA fan, and see who gets moved in the next couple days and, you know, who's got the cap space this summer to sign some pretty good players.
Yeah, nobody does drama like the NBA right now, Bobby. Let's start with the Cavaliers GM gig. The owner, Dan Gilbert, reportedly meeting with Chauncey Billups today. I'm surprised at the timing of that decision to part ways with the GM, David Griffin, knowing that Griffin, as soon as last night at 6 o'clock, was working on a potential Paul George or Jimmy Butler deal. What's your reaction to what happened in Cleveland last night?
No, you hit it right on the head. I'm surprised at the timing. I'm not surprised that David Griffin won't be the general manager, you know, starting when free agency begins July 1st here. It's an interesting position. I always labeled that Cleveland job as probably the hardest job in the NBA. And I know you've been to multiple, you know, three finals in a row, and you've got probably one of the best players in LeBron James on your roster. But where the payroll is and an owner, a demanding owner, many different factions there. You've got a win now mentality here. And if it is, you know, Chauncey Billups as the next president, and you'll certainly have to hire a general manager under him, because that's a tall task for somebody who's, you know, who was in the broadcast booth with ABC and ESPN a couple weeks ago to take on that and to take on a team that's, you know, has LeBron James going into the last year of his contract with limited assets to improve that roster. So it's a tall task in Cleveland.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Would seem that Griffin had started the process, Bobby, of perhaps putting into motion a Kevin Love for Jimmy Butler / Paul George type of deal. As that Cleveland office front office stands right now, do you expect the Cavs to make a big-time deal like that, knowing that there is really, at least right now, no one manning that front office?
Well, Kobe Altman, who's their assistant GM, is still there. I know Kobe well. He'll do a good job. They've got a really good support staff. I know Griff's gone, and Trent Redden, who works as an assistant GM under Griff, is also gone. But there's still some people left there that can field the calls and, you know, present an offer. If it's to Dan Gilbert, I'm sure Ty Lue will have a role as far as where this roster shapes. The key would be what does Kevin Love turn into? I think that's what the big question mark, and what is Indiana looking for? They don't have a ton of leverage here based on Paul George being an expiring contract, a one-year rental. Can you possibly get a lottery pick out of it? Is it Kevin Love himself? I still think that, you know, just because Griff is leaving, that things don't get shut down in Cleveland. Though they're probably busy right now, you know, making some phone calls.
Bobby Marks, front office insider for Yahoo Sports, The Vertical, here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. Paul George, Bobby, where do you expect him to land? We know he's going somewhere, right? Where do you expect him to land? Might it be Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, they've got if Cleveland wants to get rid of Paul George and Kevin Love, and you know, if Kevin Pritchard is willing to take on Love for 2 years, it could have happened, sure. But if you're the Lakers, who are pretty much in the driver's seat right now, the question comes down to, do you want to get into this and risk some assets from maybe some picks, some players there to get him now? The intent is that, you know, George is leaning to the Lakers in the summer of 2018. They possibly could sign him if they, you know, create some room to do so. And, you know, just being in the Nets front office in 2010, we went through Carmelo Anthony with the Knicks. You know, it got into a bidding war. And I think that's where Kevin Pritchard has to kind of use some teams from a leverage standpoint, get some teams in a bidding war, and try to get some value there. But players on one-year contract, there's diminishing returns if there's not a commitment from that player if he's going to sign long-term.
Bobby Marks of The Vertical here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. Story broke this morning about the New York Knicks possibly putting Kristaps Porzingis out there on the trading block. This was another blockbuster headline today. It was a shocker to me. What about you, Bobby? You surprised?
I am. It's a player who's got 2 years left on his contract, and he's a restricted free agent. Years from now. And those players you don't just give away. I mean, no, they wouldn't give him away, but, you know, why would you – you already have a little bit of the known. Why would you want to go out and get multiple draft picks unless it's somebody you think that could be a potential franchise player, because that's what Porzingis certainly could be. So, yes, I am surprised by it. I understand there was a falling out at the end of the year where Porzingis blew off the exit interview with Phil Jackson. So, but I think where the Knicks are, they've got to mend fences here. And when it comes to Porzingis, when it comes to Carmelo Anthony, so would I be surprised if he's moved by Thursday night? I would be. I really would. It would be. I think that would surprise me more than a George or maybe even a Jimmy Butler. Or even a Kevin Love betrayed it, just based on Porzingis' age, his contract. He's got tremendous value. Players like that are really hard to find.
Yeah, absolutely. We are speaking with Bobby Marks of The Vertical here on ESPN Afternoons with Scott Inez. All things NBA. Of course, the draft is coming on Thursday. The Celtics and the Sixers swap number 1 and number 3. Sixers are going to take Markel Fultz at number 1. It's expected the Lakers may take Lonzo Ball at 2. Then what does Boston do at 3? I think the consensus, at least yesterday, Bobby, was, well, it's going to be Josh Jackson. Then again, there are rumblings up there in Boston that Danny Ainge is actually interested in Duke's Jason Tatum. What are you hearing there at the top half of the draft?
Well, it's interesting. Tatum's been there, has visited. I'm sure the Celtics have his medical information. Jackson has not visited there. So when it comes down to do the Celtics have, the physical for Jackson? Is there a comfort level if there's no meeting that's taken place? Certainly in when I was with the Nets, we've drafted players that did not come in for visits, but we also had a pretty comprehensive background and also the medical information, and there was a good understanding there. So I think it's going to be Jason Tatum. I really do. I think he's the best fit there. I think he can play multiple positions. I know he's 1 year removed from Duke. He's mature for his age. There's no red flags off the court. Jackson, on the other hand, there's a concern from an off the court standpoint. There were some transparencies in Kansas, some issues there. He's admitted that he takes anger management classes, but he's also a really good basketball player. So that's what the Celtics are weighing if the pick is still theirs, which I think it will be. And then it goes to Phoenix and then Sacramento and then to you guys at 6 in Orlando.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. As we get you out of here real quick, Bobby Marks, the big question for me is, I I'm out on Elfrid Payton as my starting point guard for the future after 3 years, but I know I need scoring as well, and Malik Monk would give that to me, but there's Dennis Smith Jr. from NC State, a guy who, is he a guy I can turn my team over to in the next decade? If so, I do it, but I don't know the answer to that question. Do you, Bobby?
Yeah, I don't either. It's funny. It's like this draft is like going to a good restaurant, and it's like you look at the menu and you're not sure what you want to order because right. There's so many good things on there. I mean, you want steak, pasta, or fish, and it's a draft where we could see 8 point guards go. You'll see the first two, it's Ball and Fultz, and then Dennis Smith Jr. He is a physical point guard, probably the most put together from that standpoint. But there's still a bit of a learning curve. So that's what you have to weigh if you're going to pick him where you are at 6. But you've got Smith, you've got Monk, a little bit undersized for a 2 guard there. Jonathan Isaacs, Florida State kid, is certainly intriguing because I think he potentially could have the most upside in this draft here. So whoever they draft, and if you draft them and develop them the right way, they're going to have a good piece. They really will, and then we'll see what happens with that pick later in the 20s, if it's a player maybe you stash in Europe, or if it's maybe somebody you can develop into a rotational player.
Yeah, should be a fun night on Thursday. Lots of drama building. Bobby, always a pleasure. Thank you, my man. Appreciate the knowledge.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.